Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Haircut 100. Ah, yeah. Big hits in the early 80s. Their front man, Nick Hayward, is on the line, and they're coming to Vicar Street in Dublin in October. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Ray.
Happy wedding anniversary. There's a coincidence.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I loved your chat with Jenny. That was fascinating.
Yeah, so how many years married are you? Can you tell us?
A couple of years. We got married during COVID because we were stuck abroad. So we found this local place called Plant City.
Right.
And it was like a building by a bridge. And we went inside and got married by this lovely lady called Michelle, who was so sweet. She reminded me of a mole. And then we went outside and we went across the road to Starbucks and had the wedding reception. And Sarah had a cake pop and I had a flapjack.
Ah, so romantic. So romantic.
Yeah.
Listen, Nick Hayward, it's a real pleasure to talk to you because, you know, I was buying your records in the early 80s. I remember introducing people to this song. That was the first single, wasn't it, from Pelican West, was it?
Yeah, that was the first one out of the flower basket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was that your first appearance on Top of the Pops?
It was, yeah, terrifying. For all of us, we were like, oh my God, is this really happening?
Well, you're only 12, so I can imagine you were very afraid.
Yeah, we all looked about 12.
You did, yeah.
Well, we're only 20, I think.
Yeah,
you know, 20, yeah.
No, but you did look particularly young now. Come on, looking back, you did look, I'd say 16, you would have got away with being a 16-year-old.
Yeah, I used to get stopped in pubs and
yes,
things
yeah.
like that. And, you know, especially if I wore dungarees.
Yeah.
It was, not good. But coming back from America, a long tour out then, I was trying to impress my mates back in Beckenham and took them all out for a drink and wouldn't get served.
and on the dungarees, and, how would you describe your sartorial approach back in the early 80s? What was your look?
It was anything. It was just like, what hasn't been worn yet? You know, has there been any? I mean, I was inspired when I saw Fergal Sharkey with an anorak on Top of the Pops.
Yeah,
I'm sure that had a bit of an influence with me wearing a sou'wester, a yellow fisherman's sort of like sou'wester on. Yeah, because it was just polo gear, anything that hadn't been done yet. That's what it was. It was just not conforming. It's just anything new. What hasn't been done before?
You wore an iron jumper as well, long before Taylor Swift was wearing iron jumpers.
Yeah, well, it was freezing, I think, when we first... I think it was like the end of the 1981.
So it was October 1981.
Getting close to Christmas.
Yeah.
And it was freezing at Top of the Pops as well, absolutely freezing.
So what... I know you were... Were you genuinely scared, though?
Genuinely cold, genuinely terrified.
Right.
Yeah. Somebody said to me, when that little orange light goes on, there's like 20 million people. Don't worry. You know, he probably said it to everyone, but I just like thought, yee. And the camera kind of came in from above and I was like looking up and thought, oh, wow. And all I could think about was my buck teeth. I had a huge gap in my teeth at that time. And I was just like, 'cause I never thought I'd ever go on telly, ever. And if I did, I'd be the guitarist standing to one side. I was like the songwriting bloke, not the front man.
Right.
But here I was, and I thought, I'm on telly. Oh, dear. I'm on telly. And it's happened. I didn't really want to be David Bowie.
but like, you know, great songs, great singer, great producer. Like, it was just a great pop package, wasn't it?
Well, it was, it was Les Graham and I's dream, you know, as a band. We'd had so many rehearsals, you know, setting up, packing up, driving home, rehearsing again the next day, going out the weekend, living and breathing the band, living together in one room together above a flower shop, just with that dream of actually being, you know, that's why we couldn't believe it actually happened, but it was our dream. So we'd put in all the work beforehand. You know, we'd gone through punk, we'd gone through new wave, mod, ska, you know, and then New Romantic happened and we were just like, and then suddenly there was this kind of other little cultural wave coming over the horizon and we're on it. It's like, oh, this is us. Oh, right, okay, this is our bus. Jump on.
Yeah, because it was. How would you describe it? It was definitely pop. There was a bit of maybe jazz influence, was there? Definitely a new romantic feel to it as well, but not so much as Spandau Ballet. So how?
We went for Bob Sargent for our producer, who we loved the beat and records because they were just so clear. And I feel like that clear and crispy sort of timeless feel that the beat had. And I think, you know, even now people are saying, you know, Haircut 100 sounds crispy. It doesn't sound like the 80s.
See, it's mad because that's the exact conversation we had upstairs. Nick Hayward, that they're timeless. They've stood the test of time. We play a bit of Fantastic Day. It sort of seemed a little bit more mature than you'd expect from a 20-year-old song.
Yeah, well, you know, we had such eclectic tastes, you know, the influences. I mean, I've been to see Oscar Peterson, Ray Charles and Count Basie at One Bill. Yeah, that was my first gig. And Mark was into Latin American percussion. And Les was into Hendrix and Graham was into The Clash. And there was Earth, Wind & Fire and Tower Power. And it all came together. And when we got Blair... You know, he was from Memphis. You know, he drummed with all the Memphis Stax records and things. So when he came in, what you're hearing there is the band, like, really, we were at our height there. Like, we were kind of like, it was just, we couldn't believe that we sounded this way. And when Blair joined, it was like, I think we're world class. We actually sound really, really good. It's like, we're the tightest band in London. What is this? We just kept getting tighter and then putting brass on it. And before you know it, it was like we got a reputation as a bit of a formidable live band. And we just played and played and it was all about the music and everything just got forgotten. And we were just, it's pure energy on stage. I mean, I every gig I say, I'm not going to do that energy. I'm not going to do haircut energy. Nope. I'm going to pace myself. And then the gig starts happening and then those songs start, they get plugged in. And before you know it, it's like, bang, 100%. Flat out, exhausted afterwards.
And that's exhaustion is the thing that happened to you. And people, I suppose, you know, when you hear you talking and you left nothing, you know, it was always 110%. So, and you probably weren't prepared for it in a way. Who would be prepared for it? Going on Top of the Pops and having all those top 10 singles and touring the world and all that. Mm. So it took its toll on you.
Yeah, I didn't sleep. I didn't sleep for the year. Just went from one gig to another. I was still sweating when I went to the next gig. It was just, there was no time to wash any clothes or anything. It was just kind of, as I was living out of a suitcase and I was always doing interviews we were pretty tired. I mean, I think it would, if somebody just, and we didn't have a manager, and so now we have for the first time ever, you know. And there's lots of first time evers, you know, like playing in Dublin, first time ever.
Yes, we'll come to that. But how did you not have a manager?
Well, we had one initially, and then he kind of he wasn't great. Right. So he left, but he was great at keeping it together, even though anyway, I won't go there.
And then all this exhaustion, and then what happened? Did you start? They sort of snipping at each other, and you fell out, or what happened?
Just lack of communication.
Right.
That's it, purely. I mean, we look back and laugh now, you know, because all that stuff just becomes humour now.
Yes, and you're back together, and you're coming to Dublin for the first time. Because you were so mad in that first, in the early 80s, you never got a chance to come to Dublin. I get a sense from looking at interviews and reading interviews with you that all of ye are enjoying it now and appreciating it more than you did back then.
Exactly, because, I mean, you know, we have put in the time. I mean, Les Graham and I have a really strong foundation, having lived together for so long as well and lived and breathed the band, and it was our dream around the coffee table and, you know, coming up, taking the name to the Three Tons in Beckenham and trying out with our mates and, you know, getting a strong reaction, that's the band name, and then taking it around London and playing. And, you know, it was like, so we just plug into that as soon as we get together. We cannot speak for years and then just call each other up. And you know what, it's old friends.
Yeah, well, that's
old
friends. Isn't that the measure?
Yeah.
That's how people describe friendship. It's as if you never were apart.
No, I mean, years can go by, and it's just like real friends just are always there.
Now, you brought up the name there. Go on, Haircut 100.
Yeah, well, it got it was just one of the many names that we're trying out on our mates in the pub, and they just said, why? And I think that was that kind of reaction worked, because I thought, why? And I'd seen this picture of Paul McCartney with a question mark, and I liked surreal art pop at the time. I was fascinated with it. I was really into XTC and Talking Heads.
Mm.
And that reaction of why, and it was a bit like it crept into the songs, like why, oh why, Lemon, Fire Brigade, why? And people have been saying, why did you sing Lemon, Fire Brigade? What's a Lemon, Fire Brigade? Why do you want to go down to the lake, you fear? You know, where does it go from here? You know, why is it?
La, so, la, 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 la. So what's the exact lyric? I'm going to play a bit of that now. You give me the exact lyric.
Here it comes.
Yeah.
Where does it go from here?
Right. Where does it go
from here? Is it down to the lake I fear?
Is it down to the lake I fear? Right.
Yes. I was terrified of the lake. What's going on down there? There's things down there. There's stuff going on. It's the subconscious.
Don't get me down there. I'm terrified. I've been singing that wrongly for 40 years, so thanks for putting me straight on that.
What were you singing?
Down to Lake Kaffir. I was making up a word, Kaffir or something like that. Like, you know, Kaffir.
I've been singing Fantastic Day when it should be Fantastic Ray.
Ah, oh, there you go. What a charmer. What a charmer. What a brilliant thing to be able to do again with your mates 40 years on, Nick.
Yeah, it is. It's I mean, I did some interviews this morning with Les, bass player.
Yeah.
Extraordinaire. And, you know, it's so funny because we're doing them and you think, boy, we did these when we were teenagers. And we dreamt of doing this.
Now, you weren't great at them. I watched a couple.
Useless. Absolutely useless.
I watched you on the tube with the late Paulie Yates and Claire Grogan.
Yeah,
I watched that one. And I watched, there was Now on Two or something like that. It was a BBC Two children's programme or something like that. That was when you were in your solo days. And that was a bit a bit low energy as well. But no, you've obviously...
I was nervous. I was, Ray, I was terrified. I couldn't speak properly.
I understand that completely now.
You know, but why I wrote lyrics, because you know, they were nonsense. It was like anything that came out of my mouth was nonsense.
You see,
I just thought, go on.
We assume.
No, how was I supposed to do interviews?
Yeah, we assume that people like you are good talkers, and that's not the case. The reason you get into it is because you want to write music and you want to sing and all that. You don't necessarily want to give interviews. But thank you so much.
Have you heard a footballer interviewed?
There you go. That's it. Yeah, you rest your case. Nick, great
talk. They communicate through their feet.
Yes. So, Haircut 100 back together, performing in Dublin's Vicar Street in October. And it's the first time in Dublin, and it's their 40th anniversary tour. Nick, lovely talking to you. And if things work out, you might come in and maybe sing live for us. I don't know. When you're here.
I'd love to, right?
Okay, Nick.
Love to.
Good luck. See you. Bye. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.